The first three PowerPoint images played well. For a change, every council member was paying attention. He was making his points effectively. And then all at once, everything started going wrong. The fourth image was supposed to be a beautiful photo at sunset of the new highway extension opened last year. Instead, it was something else, something very embarrassing. A photograph out of a magazine like Penthouse or Hustler. He could hear the audience gasp as he hurriedly hit the button on his laptop to move to the next image. This one was worse. Not a thing was left to the imagination. He was still trying to click to another image when someone in the audience pulled out the power plug to the projector while the chairman banged loudly with his gavel and shouted over the din that the meeting was adjourned. Analyzing the con. Using a teenage hacker's expertise, a disgruntled employee managed to access the computer of the head of his department, download an important PowerPoint presentation, and replace some of the slides with images certain to cause grave embarrassment. Then he put the presentation back on the man's computer. With the modem plugged into a jack and connected to one of the office computers, the young hacker was able to dial in from the outside. The kid had set up the remote access software in advance so that once connected to the computer, he would have full access to every file stored on the entire system. Since the computer was connected to the organization's network, and he already knew the boss's username and password, he could easily gain access to the boss's files. Including the time to scan in the magazine images, the entire effort had taken only a few hours. The resulting damage to a good man's reputation was beyond imagining. Mitnick message. The vast majority of employees who are transferred, fired, or let go in a downsizing are never a problem. Yet it only takes one to make a company realize too late what steps they could have taken to prevent disaster. Experience and statistics have clearly shown that the greatest threat to the enterprise is from insiders. It's the insiders who have intimate knowledge of where the valuable information resides and where to hit the company to cause the most harm. The Promotion Seeker. Late in the morning of a pleasant autumn day, Peter Milton walked into the lobby of the Denver Regional Offices of Honorable Auto Parts, a national parts wholesaler for the automobile aftermarket. He waited at the reception desk while the young lady signed in a visitor, gave driving directions to a caller, and dealt with the UPS man, all more or less at the same time. "So how did you learn to do so many things at once?" Pete said when she had time to help him. She smiled, obviously pleased he had noticed. He was from marketing in the Dallas office, he told her, and said that Mike Talbot from Atlanta Field Sales was going to be meeting him. "We have a client to visit together this afternoon," he explained. "I'll just wait here in the lobby."
"Marketing," she said the word almost wistfully, and Pete smiled at her, waiting to hear what was coming. "If I could go to college, that's what I'd take," she said. "I'd love to work in marketing."
He smiled again. "Kayla," he said, reading her name off the sign on the counter, "we have a lady in the Dallas office who was a secretary. She got herself moved over to marketing. That was 3 years ago, and now she's an assistant marketing manager, making twice what she was." Kayla looked starry-eyed. He went on, "Can you use a computer?"
"Sure," she said.
"How would you like me to put your name in for a secretary's job in marketing?"
She beamed. "For that, I'd even move to Dallas."
"You're going to love Dallas," he said. "I can't promise an opening right away, but I'll see what I can do." She thought that this nice man in the suit and tie, and with the neatly trimmed, well-combed hair, might make a difference in her working life. Pete sat down across the lobby, opened his laptop, and started getting some work done. After 10 or 15 minutes, he stepped back up to the counter. "Listen," he said, "it looks like Mike must have been held up. Is there a conference room where I could sit and check my emails while I'm waiting?"
Kayla called the man who coordinated the conference room scheduling and arranged for Pete to use one that wasn't booked. Following a pattern picked up from Silicon Valley companies, Apple was probably the first to do this, some of the conference rooms were named after cartoon characters, others after restaurant chains or movie stars or comic book heroes. He was told to look for the Minnie Mouse room. She had him sign in and gave him directions to find Minnie Mouse. He located the room, settled in, and connected his laptop to the Ethernet port. "Do you get the picture yet?" Right. The intruder had connected to the network behind the corporate firewall. Anthony's story. I guess you could call Anthony Lake a lazy businessman. Or maybe bent comes closer. Instead of working for other people, he had decided he wanted to go to work for himself. He wanted to open a store where he could be at one place all day and not have to run all over the countryside. Only he wanted to have a business that he could be as sure as possible he could make money at. What kind of store? That didn't take long to figure out. He knew about repairing cars, so an auto parts store. And how do you build in a guarantee of success? The answer came to him in a flash. Convince auto parts wholesaler, Honorable Auto Parts, to sell him all the merchandise he needed at their cost. Naturally, they wouldn't do this willingly, but Anthony knew how to con people. His friend Mickey knew about breaking into other people's computers, and together they worked out a clever plan. That autumn day, he convincingly passed himself off as an employee named Peter Milton, and he had conned his way inside the Honorable Auto Parts offices and had already plugged his laptop into their network. So far, so good. But that was only the first step. What he still had to do wouldn't be easy, especially since Anthony had set himself a 15-minute time limit. Any longer, and he figured that the risk of discovery would be too high. In an earlier phone call, pre-texting as a support person from their computer supplier, he had put on a song-and-dance act. "Your company has purchased a 2-year support plan, and we're putting you in the database so we can know when a software program you're using has come out with a patch or a new updated version. So I need to have you tell me what applications you're using." The response gave him a list of